little bit of health issues challenging. He's doing fine. He'll be back. But Austin's here to fill in for him, his title, Target Spot, after 10 years. Are we where we need to be?
This is one of those situations where you get put as a second author and the first author drops out 2 days before the meeting, and guess what you have to do? So anyway, I put a presentation together. Bob has, of course, worked on this disease longer than I have. As Bob Nichols mentioned, that they saw the problem back in the mid-2000s, and I started working on it and started doing a little bit of observations in 2011 and really got into it in 2012. There we go. And we've already talked about the symptom patterns. I mean, leaf spotting is not that big a deal in a crop unless the leaves come off. And then you really do get into trouble. And this is kind of the pattern that we see on some of the varieties down in southwest Alabama. You have onset about the third week of bloom. 2 weeks later, you're at 15% defoliation. 2 weeks after that, you're at 50. And 2 more weeks after that, you're at 75 to 90% defoliation. And basically, because the canopy's so open at that point, you really don't see any more disease development after that point. So it really is an impressive disease in the right circumstances on the right variety in the right location. So as I already been mentioned, this disease was actually originally described the paper was published in 61. Work was done in Mississippi. Jenny Kopernik, our cotton breeder, is interested in working on breeding for target spot resistance, and she actually pulled out a reference from, and I'm going to say it's from the late 1800s, so it actually has an illustration in there of a leaf spot disease that closely resembles target spot. Now, you also have to remember that there are 3 or 4 other leaf spot diseases in cotton that we can run into that have a zone 8 target spot-like pattern that could easily be confused with target spot. Anyway, the disease reemerged in 2005, and Bob realized it wasn't Ascochyta blight or some other, maybe something like a Staphylum leaf spot. A few years later, they published on it. At that point in time, we started looking in Alabama. We ran into it. And the following year, 2012, we had a lot of target spot in the southeast. I believe it ran up the east coast that year. I know it ran up the coast in 2013, the mid-Atlantic states, and it really had been a problem there since then. But it really didn't become a disease until 2016 when it ran up the Mississippi River Valley. So, if it's not a problem there, it's not a problem. Who cares about Alabama? But to add to the situation is it has now shown up in Oklahoma and Texas. So essentially all of our cotton production regions other than Arizona and California now have target spot. Now whether it's a problem in all of them is another issue. There's a lot of geography that enters into this. There's a lot of weather patterns. There's variety selection. So just because you have target spot doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have severe outbreaks. But there are situations like the mid-Atlantic states where they had tropical storms move up the coast, moved inoculum, the right weather patterns. You had a very dense canopy crop, high yield potential, and they had issues with target spot. As far as geography is concerned, for example, in the state of Alabama, our problems are largely restricted to the area right along the Florida Panhandle. As you move north, the severity of the disease continues to drop off to the point when you get to the Tennessee Valley, which is a major cotton production region to this day. I rated the variety trials up there. It was relatively, you had to look to find a lesion or target spot in any of the cotton varieties, including 499. Up there at Tennessee Valley. But again, you go on down further south, it's really easy to find. So basically we have target spot issues everywhere, and there's going to be a lot of ins and out with weather, growth habit, and varieties or cultivars that are going to be an issue. Bob showed this slide earlier. I think for me in working on this disease, one of the things I wanted to show initially was that we actually were seeing a yield loss. As I mentioned before, you could see leaf spot diseases in some crops. You get a little leaf shed at the end of the season, so what? In fact, you could almost, if it develops late enough, look at target spot as being a beneficial disease because it's knocking leaves off. And, you know, so instead of defoliating, putting a defoliant out, you have a disease doing the defoliating. But if it turns out it shows up a little earlier, that kind of changes the equation, as Hillary showed. That earlier onset can be a situation where we see yield losses. But, I mean, you look at the different situations in any given year across different locations. You know, the Phytogen 499 has been the susceptible variety. It's been our go-to variety for showing yield loss. But you get into some of the Delta Pine varieties, some of the Stoneville varieties in the past, it's a little harder to see yield losses. And they're, you know, Bob, I think you showed 50% as kind of a break line. Hillary mentioned 30%. I used to be more in line with Bob, saying it had to be 50, 60% premature defoliation at about cutout to see a yield loss. But I have some other information I generated this year that's more in line even with some of the things that Hillary was seeing. We didn't have a lot of defoliation. We were still getting response to the fungicides. So there's a lot we don't know about how cultivar and environment and growth habit interact and their impact on cotton yields. Now, from our regression analysis from the data coming out of Gulf Coast Substation is on Phytogen 499, in particular, we could have a 400-pound per acre loss in lint yield. So we're looking at about 20, maybe upwards of 25% potential yield loss under absolutely ideal conditions. The consultants in Georgia were talking about 600 pounds of lint per acre. We didn't see anything quite that high, but that certainly, given the production system that they have down in that area where they're growing a large plant, putting a lot of nitrogen on it, irrigating the living daylights out of it, they've got the drivers in place that they may indeed have been seeing losses in that range. So we have shown that we get a yield decline with certain levels of increasing defoliation, and it is variety specific or cultivar specific, so the ones that don't have a lot of defoliation are less likely to see yield loss. From some of the work that we've done, we may see a reduction in the number of open bowls, but that's not consistent in every study where we see yield losses. So where the yield loss is occurring has not been defined. Somebody's going to have to do a mapping study, graduate student. Yeah. But somebody really needs to go out there and look at where are we losing mature bowls? Some of the pictures from the Mid-South are showing bowl shedding. I've never seen that. Are we shedding squares at critical times? Is the loss in the bottom of the canopy or the top of the canopy? None of that has been figured out at this point. Normally, we don't see an effect from the disease on gin out. I've had one data set or two where I have, but by and large, that's not been the case, nor has there really been much of an impact of the disease on lint quality factors in most of the trials that we've run. So we're mainly losing bowls somewhere. Bob mentioned this, and I mentioned it earlier. Target spot is a disease of intensively managed cotton. You're not going to see a lot of target spot in, you know, upstate Alabama on a dry land field where the cotton doesn't lap the middles with a two-bale yield potential. It's just not going to be there. It's a problem for those individuals that are pushing the yield envelope on cotton. And so you got a big plant. And the other critical factor is the rate of canopy closure. And again, I don't know how you actually go evaluate that in a field study at this point in time. But in the past, we've seen a lot of onset basically when that canopy closes. And this year in Alabama, we had so much rain that our cotton got literally did not get past my waist and never lapped the middles. And Phytogen 499 wasn't a spot on it. So you can get 70 inches of rain on cotton that doesn't lap the middles, Phytogen 499, and you will not see target spot. So there's that growth habit component in there as well. We did have a graduate student that's done a little bit of work at Auburn on temperature and moisture duration, but again, in order to develop a disease model to describe the onset and development of this disease in cotton, we're going to need a lot more information as to how some of these weather parameters interact with crop growth and inoculum levels to see what effect or to better define the epidemiology of this disease. There's a lot that we don't know, at least in that particular area. If you look at managing target spot for, you know, in a field crop disease, your options are kind of limited. We're not growing vegetables here. Bob mentioned money. And cotton was 75 cents a pound. What is it going back down?
So actually it's going up.
Oh, so I shouldn't say anything. Well, it's the only thing out there they'll make money on. That's the other problem. But, I mean, if you had 65 or 60 cent cotton, you're not going to go out there and make multiple fungicide applications. The money is just not there on most of the varieties that we have to consistently get not only get a return on their investment, but also to make some money by spraying a fungicide. So we really need to look at a more integrated management program, employing some of particularly cultivar variety selection and maybe ultimately some management inputs as a means of dealing with target spot. And I've done a lot of variety trials in Alabama, and you know, this is basically how they break out. 499 definitely is the more susceptible of any of the varieties that we've even seen in the OVT trials. I mean, there's nothing that has popped up that is in the past that was worse than 499. You can sometimes see yield gains out of 1252, although it's fairly unusual, and more likely Fibromax 1944. We could occasionally pop a yield gain out of that particular variety, but the reality was with a lot of the other varieties that are on the market, we really weren't seeing that much of that much defoliation sufficient enough to trigger a yield response from our fungicide inputs. And most of these varieties are older. These are all, other than 1538 and 1555, these are obsolete varieties, and they are being cycled out by the seed companies, and they're being replaced by other varieties. So we're looking at some of the new technologies. We should say Bolgard 3, not Bolgard 2, but the Enlist, wide strike, twin link, so they're twin link plus. So varieties with these BT and herbicide technologies are coming to the fore, and so those old varieties that didn't have them are going away. Now I assume that the seed companies conserve the agronomic traits from the obsolete varieties and are moving those characteristics into their, or retaining them or conserving them in their newer varieties, but the fact remains is, and I focus on this, is I don't really have a lot of information about how the new varieties respond to target spot. And these are late maturing varieties that we largely grow over the state. Now, some varieties have shown that they have a little more defoliation perhaps than others. Those are the ones in the top. That doesn't necessarily mean they're showing a yield loss from fungicide inputs, because I haven't even gotten that far yet. It's just looking at some of our trials, they may have more target spot in them. And then there's some others, particularly 1664, that we've worked with a little bit that looks like it's performing just like the older Delta Pine varieties. And so it doesn't look too bad. And there are some other ones on the list that have also this year had very low defoliation ratings in the OVT trials. So this is an area, regardless of where we are within the cotton producing region, that those of us that work in these crops, we either need to be doing our own variety trials or sneaking in at night behind the agronomist's back and rating their trials. There's no reason why we can't cooperate, but I know cotton specialists are difficult people. Of course, we don't have one now. Anybody want to be the cotton specialist in Alabama? Any volunteers out there? I'm going to retire, so you can have my job. Oh, so we're difficult.
That's what they said. That's what they said. Okay, what can I do about it? My children are fighting.
Well, that's pretty normal anyway. You know, fungicides, when I first started, we had Twidline, Quadris, and Headline. They actually didn't say target spot on the label. They said Ascochyta blight, but you know, what the heck? Well, any port in a storm. But we have had some other products come on the marketplace. In the last year, and as Hillary showed, that Pyraxor right now is the product of choice for use for target spot control in cotton. I've not seen much of a application rate response. That's what I was thinking of with Pyraxor. So 4 ounces is probably as good as anything. We do have Miravis coming down the pike from Syngenta, and it's actually it's better than Pyraxor is, so we got another product coming down the pike. I've done some placement studies. We got a little better control with drop nozzles with Headline, but the reality is, with the way the applicators want to go, they're not going to use drop nozzles. We have looked at irrigation through the line applications. One test in 16. And putting Pyraxor out through the line didn't work. So I'll just, you know, we'll leave it at that. But somebody else, we do have a lot of VR irrigation systems out there. Growers are going to want to use those systems as fungicide delivery equipment. So that's another area where we need to be looking at is through the line applications, if they are efficacious, and with some of these different materials. We're still batting around application number as well as application timing. And I've even done some studies where we've initiated fungicide sprays at the point of defoliation and gotten excellent control. Headline will stop, late applications will stop target spot in its tracks. Again, we need some more studies, but there is the opportunity that we may be using scouting programs. And then we get to management inputs. We need to look at cropping frequency. Maybe tillage will help. Maybe a heavy rye cover crop rolled, and then we drill plant no-till into that heavy cover might be a real nice suppressive system for target spotting cotton. Seeding rate probably isn't much of an issue because folks have already gone down to 2 seed per foot. You can't go much lower than that. But row spacing might be an opportunity. 40-inch rows, skip rows, that particular area has not been addressed. We don't know about nitrogen fertility. Certainly the growers that are having problems with this disease are pushing high nitrogen rates. So maybe we need to, again, sneak in behind the cotton agronomists and their fertility studies and look at them. And then there are some other opportunities there as well that may help. I'll skip over this and finish up. So we've got to correlate the level of defoliation with yield loss in new cultivars. You know, they may be maybe tolerant. Maybe they could have a moderate level of defoliation but still yield very well. The epidemiology needs to be clarified, as does cultivar response under just high target spot pressure. And then there's some other instances, particularly the calendar versus a scouting schedule, and then coming up with a management program, particularly with these partially resistant varieties as a means of dealing with target spot in cotton rather than depending on fungicides. Because one of the issues with Curonosper cassicola has historically been more in vegetables is it is a nasty habit of developing resistance, particularly to strobilurin and SDHI type fungicides, and that's what we got in the marketplace right now. Thank you.